from the Gospel of Luke, the story of Mary. And I'm going to read the passages that I put down in the bulletin, but I'm going to add a little bit more. I'm going to go a bit further. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But Mary was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting that might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." It's interesting, in every scripture we're going to read during Advent, the angel says every time, "Do not be afraid." That's the consistent word in all these passages. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive a child, and you will name him Jesus." And he talks some more, and Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the God Most High will be in this. For nothing is impossible for God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. My family in Washington are fabulous, and they never go to church. But my cousin Scott, I will say, married very well 2 years ago. He married Joy, who he'd lived with for 20 years, and the family thinks that was his very best thing he's done. One, because we really like her, and she is a librarian, so she gets books for us. Well, she retired 2 years ago. And her creative self has been coming out, and I have been the recipient of many of those gifts. This year, a week ago, she sent me 2 elaborate Christmas stockings she has made. I mean, she couldn't decide which one I'd like, so she sent me 2. And then if that wasn't enough, in the toes of the stockings were 4 different sets of earrings she made. And I'm thinking, oh, I like Joy's retirement. And then I unwrapped something else, and I found a brooch, a pin, about this big, and I looked at it, and it's a brooch of a picture of Mary and the baby Jesus. And I thought, what is she doing sending me this? She doesn't go to church. And we Presbyterians, we don't wear brooches like this. And I put it away, and then I thought, oh, you're preaching on Mary, aren't you? Why did I just want to put that away? And so I've been holding it in my hands this week, thinking about Mary. And thinking about why my reaction was, ooh, we don't do Mary. And I thought some of it honestly came from my heritage. I am a Presbyterian, and in the day, reformers back 500 years ago felt that the church was focusing too much on Mary and not enough on God and Jesus. So what they did is said, we will not really, we'll take out all the statues of Mary and we won't pay any attention to her. Like John Knox, who was the founder of the Presbyterian Church in Scotland. I probably told this story. John Knox was shanghaied. He became a galley slave on a boat for 19 months. He was a young man. And while he was there, the boat went on the coast of France, and there was a very sacred place where Mary, a statue of Mary was, and it was rowed out to the ship, the slave ship, and the captain took the statue of Mary around and asked that everyone kiss it. Well, John Knox would not kiss it, and the captain said, "You at least have to touch it." So he held it in his hands, and he said, "Trouble me not, idol." And then you know what he did? He shoved it into the water. And he said, no, this is what he said. "Let Our Lady save herself. She is light enough. Let her learn to swim." Oh, what a great response. And that's kind of how we did. Throw it out. I don't want anything from it. And the loss is we lost the understanding of God being made real in Mary. She is called Theotokos, God-bearer. And can we not learn something from her versus throwing her out? And we're a little wiser now. We know that Presbyterians or Catholics, we don't have the complete Word of God. We have pieces of it. And so I've been thinking about Mary this week, and I thought, I just need to go to that scripture once again. Do you notice it's not a lot? And when we usually think of Mary, we think about those Renaissance pictures. Do you know the ones I mean? Mary is wearing a royal dress, and she has long blonde hair, and she looks very calm. And she's writing at a desk, and there's an olive branch and maybe a lily. All is calm when the angel comes to talk with her. And I think, really? Did they read this scripture? It doesn't say she's wealthy, and the chances are she couldn't read. Chances are she was a peasant girl. And when the angel came to her, what does our scripture say? Perplexed. Okay, that is such an understatement. Perplexed. It's like, oh my God, God, what is happening to me? One translation says, she was greatly disturbed. She was shaken up. She was. Here is an angel, God's presence in the midst of her room. And chances are she was really a young girl, not of a noble family. She was, they didn't have noble Jews. They were just a Jewish girl, and she was probably not reading. She didn't know how to read. What she'd probably be doing was cooking, cleaning, maybe weaving fabric for her trousseau, her things she was going to take to her arranged marriage with Joseph. Maybe she had a moment of quiet. And who knows what she's thinking of? There's enough right there. Maybe she wasn't thinking anything. Maybe she was just sitting down. And there comes this angel that says to her, "Greetings, favored one, for the Lord is with you." Okay. And what I find amazing, she doesn't say anything for a bit. Maybe she's just so shocked she can't speak. Maybe she's going to see what's going to happen. But she doesn't speak, and what she does do is she listens. I think that's so key. Even if she was confused, even if she was scared, even if she was going, oh yeah, this is like a bad date I ate, she is listening to this. And I want to hold on to that. Because she is listening, and what she hears is that God is going to use her. Not because she is fantastic, not because she's honorable or humble. God has just decided to use her. And so she hears this with her worries, with her curiosity, with her overwhelmedness, and she listens. And what's her first thing she says? She says, "How can this be? I'm not married. I'm a virgin. How can this be?" It's a really practical question. She's heard all the beautiful things. You know, he will be great, the son of the God Most High. And she said, "Excuse me, how can this be since I'm a virgin?" It's very, very practical. And Gabriel talks some more, and what he says to her, it's going to happen with the Holy Spirit, blah, blah, blah. What he says to her is nothing is impossible with God. What he's saying to her is, this is not about you. You're right, you're not worthy, you're not ready. This is about God, and it is going to happen. And then she does the miraculous thing. This, to me, is the real miracle. She says, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." She is saying, "Okay, I don't understand it. I'm going to believe you as much as I can. Use me." And the story ends. What I love about this is Mary listens. She asks a question. It's not a question of doubt so much, maybe a little bit, but it's how can this happen? And that means that God has room for us to ask questions. and that she doesn't really understand what is going to happen to her, but she said, "Let it be. Let me try to be the servant you long me to be." What is clear is this wasn't Mary's choice. It's not what she planned. But yet she let that act take hold in her life and let it be in some ways. Now, I don't know about you, but I try to plan out my life and it never really goes how I want. It's like Barbara Brown Taylor said, "Our best laid 10-year plans are interrupted by life's own plans for us. By sudden illness and surprise babies, by aging parents and the economy, terrible things happen and wonderful things happen. But rarely do we know what will happen to us. Like Mary, the choices boil down to yes or no. Yes, I will live life like it's being held out to me, or no, I will not. Yes, I will explore this unexpected turn of events, or no, I'm going to pretend like it didn't happen. Yes, I am willing to go out and try something I'm not ready for, or no, I'm just going to pretend like the world and my not life has not changed around me." So what do we do with Mary? We don't throw her over into the water, and we also don't venerate her as God. She shows us a way to know God, a way to know him more fully. And this is what I know about Mary. What I know is she reminds us that we too are blessed, that we too are chosen by God, and God has made us God's bearer in the world. We are the ones that live out Christ's mission here. We're not going to see that baby, but we are going to see witnesses to the Christ in our world, to our hope, to our belief that God is still here and Christ's way is a good way to walk. She also reminds us that God calls us when we are unworthy, that God calls us out of love, and that God can use us. So the invitation from Mary on this season is to be able to claim your blessedness by God, that God loves you, that God will use you, yes, even you, to share this good news. So I give you courage this week to listen and to contemplate and ask some questions of God if you want, and then have a little bit of courage to say, "Yes, let it be according to your word. Here I am. Use me just a bit." May it be so.